Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Do you like the great outdoors? Are you or are you looking to be a master bow hunter, king of the hill in archery? You're in the right place. Welcome to Bow Hunter Planet. It's the Bow Hunter Planet podcast with your host, Team BHP.
Hello, welcome to the Bow Hunter Planet podcast. Tonight on the show, we have myself, Dave Thomas, along with Ron Reslow. Welcome, Ron. First time in a while.
First time ever with
this. Yes, you might step a little close to the mic there, my friend.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know what's going on.
We got the famous Kevin Conlon.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. No Boom himself, the James.
It's 92 degrees, I got a Slurpee.
And anyway, so on this episode, we just wanted to talk about hunting habitat because Ron was actually just recently at his local spot getting the honey hole ready. So, Ron, tell us about what you did at our honey hole spot, you want to call it, and what you think is going to happen this year because of that.
Well, I had to go out there and cut the whole lot, get everything situated. They have a lot of switchgrass out there and scrub brush that's growing everywhere, so I had to cut it all down. I did that like 2 weeks ago, and then I went out there Monday and recut the area where we're doing 2 1-acre food plots. One lot, it's going to be, what is it, brassicas, turnips, hybrid turnips, and rape. And then at the front spot, the soil's a little sandier over there. So I'm putting clover and alfalfa. I'm not sure if the alfalfa is going to grow, but it's just in the mix. You're supposed to plant it in the spring, but they said there's a chance it could grow, so I figure I'd give it a shot. But with any luck, they'll be feeding on the clover early on and the rape early on. And once it grows in, the brassicas and rape gets about 4 inches tall. I'm going to go back out there with some ryegrass and sprinkle it in, so that will fill in all the voids, and they'll eat the ryegrass from now till probably October. And then late November, the frost will hit, and they'll start feeding on the brassicas. We had pretty good luck out there in, what was that, 2012? Yep. The last time I did it?
Yeah, absolutely. I just remember there were so many deer that came in that they ate everything. And I remember the year that you shot that monster deer and didn't get it, missed low. Yeah. But that year, it was, the turnips were huge. And I remember they were eating them. I remember half the top was gone. Yeah. And we're like, wow, this is really coming too. This is the year that Chevy plowed the whole lot. Yeah. First time the lot's ever been fully plowed. So the soil was rich and perfect. And there was not a spot that wasn't full of vegetation. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
The whole thing, the whole left side strip, and then the whole honey hole area by Dr. Seuss was all done right.
Yeah, I wish he could come this year, but I'm just going to be out there with a four-wheeler and the Groundhog Max, but
yeah,
it'll just take a little longer, that's about it.
I think it's definitely, it's time to get him back out there. I don't know when, but that's definitely time to get a big
big machine
out there to turn it over again and start over, because I would bet that land's got to be good for multiple years. It's got so much richness, and it has not been used by, you know, it's just been grass. I
mean, yep, pretty much.
I think it's along those lines, Ron, do you do any soil testing, or are you just kind of done it by ear? How about fertilizing, all that stuff?
I didn't do any fertilizer, but I sprayed it with this 4D6H and then a bunch of words I can't pronounce for killing off all the vegetation. I did that on Monday, yesterday. No, today's Wednesday. So, well, anyways, Monday. And I sprayed it all, and it kills all the grass. And then by the time I get out there Saturday, it will... too far away from the mic. So by the time I get out there Saturday, it'll all be dead. And then I can just turn it over, and it'll act as fertilizer. But I know the soil in the back is very rich and black. But on the front portion of the lot, I think someone must have took all the topsoil out of there, because there's a lot of sand in it. So it's hard to get. The only thing I get to grow over there is clover.
Yeah,
okay. Dave, you remember that, Dave, when we did that whole
side? There was a lot of clover.
It was all clover, but the rape and everything else wouldn't grow at all.
Let's talk about the land itself. I mean, we're talking about 20 acres that is literally in the middle of the city. We would call it an urban landscape.
You know, it's urban hunting for sure.
And, you know, Ron, you and I grew up hunting together in state lands, and it was a lot of work. I mean, to get bait out there, and that was the only way you're seeing deer on these state lands. And we're talking lands, people here that have no food source. I mean, acorns, that's about it.
Yeah.
And knowing what we know today, sure, I would definitely hunt more in the acorn area, but there was no...
concentration of it, that's for sure.
No, there's no feed. There's no
spread out.
No corn, no soybean, nothing like that. And I remember just very clearly that I hunted on the state land in that area that we always hunted. And I remember going to Sean Meiser's house, and one night I saw like it was like 63 deer or something stupid, like in one night. And
you were like a little kid when I talked to you.
I know. And then when I go back to hunt where we used to hunt, we'd see one deer a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, and that's why people are like, oh, you know, QDM, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you crazy? I saw one deer a year. Like, I'm not shooting a deer to get my venison. That's all I would see. Just like, Kevin, when you hunt in the UP, it's not like you're seeing tons of deer. And you can't shoot does in the UP during gun season when you were doing it. So, therefore, what, you're going to pass on the buck that comes out?
Yeah, I could go a whole 7 days and maybe see one deer, and it may or may not be a buck.
And that's with bait, though, right, to get him in?
That's baiting. That's, yeah. I mean,
and that's just a lot of work getting up there.
I think that there's a disconnect in the industry, in the outdoor world, that people don't really understand, and I think that's the problem. I don't think it's an issue of, like, people have a lot to say on baiting, but I don't think they understand. Like, you can't not bait in certain areas. You're not going to see nothing. I mean, you'd be lucky. You can't, they tell, oh, you can follow the trail, follow where they go. No, that ain't going to happen in that thicket. I mean... You could get a little lucky, don't get me wrong, but like, you're not going to, on state land like that has no food source, it's very difficult to hunt a runway. I mean, well, you're not seeing them like that.
Well, not only that, though, that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you bait them and then you just shoot them. You can bait, like in the UP, bait all the time, and that don't guarantee you're going to see anything.
I spent a lot
anything,
of money on
you
bait.
Know?
Yeah. I've never
you're
shot
feeding
one
them,
over the bait.
You know, they're coming at night and having a party and...
batting right next to the bait pile at night.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. One time, Ron and I, we first start playing around food plots at the local spot, Train Station 20. We raked out a whole area in the back. And we threw down the throw and grow. We fenced it in. Because we're like, and I'm talking about, once you move these leaves, this is all by hand, you can't get in there on machines.
It's black soil.
It was pitch black soil. We threw this stuff down, and I'm not exaggerating, like a week later, it was full green pasture back there. We're like, whoa, this is going to be awesome. I'm hunting the stand right here, blah, blah, blah. We put cameras up, all this stuff, and literally, no exaggeration, opening day of doe season, every single green piece was eaten and gone. And we checked the camera, and they would live there all night, a mother and a baby just eating that all day, every day for like a month straight.
No, they never left.
They never left. They jumped the fence. Nothing worked. I mean, we tried everything. We don't have 10-foot fences, you know, so it didn't work. But it would be, can you imagine how good that would be if you could lock it in during the season?
I'm thinking about going out there because that's just all covered in leaves and taking a gas leaf blower and just blowing it off so I don't have to rake it. And just put the that Forester Trail clover out there that grows in the shade by Heartland.
Yep.
I'm going to put all that out there, too.
I think if
I think they don't mow that.
Well, how about this? What about this idea? I mean, it's private land, so we can do whatever we want. So what if you did the throw and grow concept, but took that orange wrapping, that orange stuff that you see in construction sites, wrap it around trees around it, and then go up a level. So that you're at like 8-9 feet.
Sponsored by BHP, you can do that.
It can't be that expensive. They come in rolls, right? You just roll it, right, all the way around. I mean, it'd be worth trying it. And my point is,
I'm sure it would work.
Come opening day, Bo, man, you open that gate and all of a sudden.
Well, I am going to do a little test. I'm going to take an area out there on the food plot and just literally take chicken wire and fence off and put a lid on it. And
if you do a lid, yeah, that's good.
And fence off a 4x4 area. Just to see how much the deer are really eating it down.
Yeah, that's
just kind of like what they do at nature preserves and all that stuff, seeing how the vegetation is affected and whatnot.
I can't help but think about this when we're talking about it. Is it keeps coming back to me. The hunting in Ohio that you and I did.
Oh, yeah.
And how we hunted so hard, but how every single night, they didn't have like baiting there, but they had like mineral slicks, things like that.
Was,
I think
it was mineral sites. They had
some sort of sites where they had like
rocks out,
things like that. So we're hunting like hard, and then you would see the trail cam pics. They'd be like every single night, like 160, 150, 170 class bucks, just eating right in front of your stand. You see the tree, you're like, oh my God. And that was last night. So we'd hunt, and Ron and I would hunt, well, more him than me, but basically all day. You know, like you talk about during gun when you used to sit out there all day.
It rained,
but
every
in
the
tree
day
stand,
we were there.
Freezing, and it was in November, it was the rut. And so we couldn't leave. We're like, we got to sit here. And it snowed. I just remember being covered in snow.
The second trip I'm talking about.
Yeah. That was the rain one you're talking about, the first one.
But
I took a picture of myself just covered in snow. Because, I mean, you couldn't get down. There's nowhere to go, first off. No one to pick you up. You're out there. You're basically there all day. And that being said, you would sit there. And I'd see 60 deer sit. Just walk by me, but nothing shootable. You know, they always had to be 140 or better, which was killer. But I mean, they were there. It's not like they weren't there. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard to fight that number when you're seeing them at night. You know, they're there. You just can't get to them. You know.
Nope.
And Ron, 135 walk by, 136.
I don't. What do you think, Jamie? Maybe they need to be a little less fidgety in the stand.
It might be the Netflix.
No, we saw a ton of deer.
Just coming from the guy, it's like, I'm getting down in 2 minutes. I ain't seen nothing. Hey. I'm out of here. I'll be inside eating. Oh, that's what you guys mean. Didn't catch on.
That November trip in Ohio you were talking about, that day when...
The first one or second one?
The second one. When, I think it was like the third day or something, and we were drinking the night before, and I told the guy that I'll sit all day and all this stuff, and he told me I couldn't do it because it was going to be so cold. And I didn't remember saying it that night, so when I woke up in the morning, he drops me off at this spot, and then Dave and I are in this text group with him, and Dave sends a text at like 11:30, hey, come pick me up, I'm frozen. It was like 18 degrees, 25-mile-an-hour wind, snow
bad.
In our face.
It was bad.
And I sent a text, pick me up afterwards. He's like, oh, you said you were sitting all day, and all this stuff, just yelling at me.
And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to, forget it.
Leave me. So I have no water, no food, no nothing.
No
so
phone.
No
phone.
Phone
dies.
My phone died. So I turned it off at one point so I could at least get a hold of someone at the tail end, and I started eating pine needles in the tree because I was so thirsty and eating snow off of my pants.
I remember one of the last hunts where I was hunting at the, I forgot what it was called. Is it called the lodge or the cabin? It was right there on site where we were staying. Remember it was like in the back? Whiteface lived back there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I forgot what
so,
it was called.
So you guys tell me what you think about this. But it kind of threw me off a little bit. But so I'm in the stand. I'm trying to think how this went down. That's actually not working right now. That's only for phone. I'm in the stand, and I'm waiting to get picked up. It gets dark out, and I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting there, and I text them, or my phone died. It's one of the two. So I guess here's my question. How long after it's pitch black do you stay in the stand before you get down and walk in? If it's in walking distance, that's my point.
As long as there's no deer around the stand, it doesn't matter to me, as long as you're not broadcasting your location.
Well, I mean, I kind of got yelled at because I got down and walked in. That's what I'm trying to understand. I sat there for a half hour in the black in a tree stand, and I'm like, how much longer am I going to sit here?
Well, you know, he was just fussy. That's all it was.
Well, I was just trying to figure out if that makes sense, or because like, I, you know, I get it. Like, you don't want to walk through a set, but like, what am I going to do? I'm just going to sit in this tree stand. I don't know what's going on.
You couldn't get a hold of him.
There was no communication.
I think it was he was mad because there was like a there was a bedding area that you went through on the way there. On the way out, that's why he was pissed. There was a betting area.
I don't know. I'm just asking the question. There was a betting area. Posing out there.
You walked the two track that he had, but either way, the two track went through the betting area.
And it's true. I think I scared some deer on the way out. Well, but I'm sure my question to the viewers out there is: how long would you sit in the stand? No communication. Don't know what's going on. You're thinking they're going to pick you up, but you can see the cabin from where you're sitting. There's no cars. There's no activity. There's no lights, and you're sitting there. And you know, and I know Ron's at a whole different place with the guide. So I have no idea how long it's taking. They could have shot a deer for all I know, and they're going to sit there. What, am I going to sit here the whole night in a tree stand?
I'd have got down.
That's what I'm saying. And then what? I'm down. Do I just sit in the dark and just sit by a tree?
No, walk in.
That's what I'm saying. It's a two-track all the way around to the cabin. Yeah. So I was walking in. I'm the customer. Yeah, I'm sorry.
He was supposed to be guiding us. You left the decoy out there.
I'm not going to carry a decoy. I paid to be there. I'm not carrying a decoy 500 yards. There's no way.
How'd you guys end up going?
Take your machine, go get it. I'm not going to carry no decoy. I should have left my gear there and tell them to pack that out, too. sorry to the guides out there.
Who is paying who there?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was fun. But the first trip we went to Ohio, I'll never forget it, man. Ryan and I, when those last night were there, it was a horrible hunt. I mean, we sat together for a lot of hunts. We thought it was going to be, like, easy.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ron, I'll never forget, because it was freezing. This one morning, you got in this tree, and the tree was like this. Like, it was a straight pole, no cover, and the stands were like this on opposite sides. So, Ron, you get up there, and it was kind of scary. Right? Like, you definitely wanted your harness, you know? We're like,
oh, yeah.
Sitting there, and it's like tilted forward. You hate that feeling, right? You're like, oh, my gosh, this is not good. And then Ron's talking to me, doing like an interview, and then he drops his glove. It was so cold. And he's like, John McLeod. And then I think that's where we got rained on bad. So last night comes, it starts pouring, downpour. So the guy's like, you guys want to go out or what do you want to do? And we're like, it's the last night. We don't have a choice. So we went out in the rain. I put this GoPro on my head. I'm following him. Pouring rain. And I'm just like, we had that rain stuff on. Remember the Arctic Shield?
Arctic Shield, yeah.
And it was like the rain gear. You know, you guys use that. Onyx. It's awesome. It worked great. Like everything's just falling off. So we get to this edge of this field, and it goes up, this ramps up this big incline, and there's a stand that's right on the edge, by, right where we walked in. It was a little stand, and so Ron's like, let's go check up the hill. So we creep up the hill quietly because it's raining. I mean, who knows? It could be a deer anywhere. So we get up to the top of the hill. There's a huge scrape, right?
It was like a community scrape and then two other scrapes right by it.
It was like insane. So
it was like the scrape was the size of a hood of a truck. It was enormous.
It was huge. I remember that. You're like, I'm sitting here. There's nowhere you can sit here. You're going to have to go down. I'll film myself. I'll be like, okay. So I have no bow. So I go down to the bottom, back down to this front stand. I sit down. It's pouring. It's just pouring rain. And then I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I look up, and it's pouring. I see this white, and it's moving. And I'm like, is that a bird? I don't even know what I'm looking at. And it's like it's all brush. And then all of a sudden I see it. His buck stands up, and it's this massive rack. Comes over these bushes. All I see is the rack, and it's white, pure white. And it's all, like, reddish bushes, and you see this pure white, and you see the thing turn, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm texting Ron. I'm like, there's one in front of me. And then this thing, and then it comes out, and then another one pops up.
So there's bigger.
A bigger one, like a 150-class buck.
Yeah.
Pops 130 pops up, a 150, and a doe. And then at some point, the two bucks are going. The doe's in between them. They look like they're going to fight. They're, like, going right next to each other. I got this on video. When you can see the video online, I'll try to put it in the description. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is going down. And I'm texting around. I'm like, you missing out? This is going down. You see this? He's like, I don't see nothing.
I couldn't see him at all. And so, they're, like, ended up getting 40 yards from you on top of it.
Oh, yeah. Then finally, they pass each other. They don't fight. And the big buck comes right down the trail right at me. And he comes right in front of me, broadside, and stops at about 45 yards. Broadside, a huge body. And I was thinking, this is a pop shot with that kind of body. You know, you're going to hit this deer. But he's looking right at Ron. He's looking up into that area.
I was grunting up there and rattling.
Oh, that's what it was.
And
see, I think that might have messed you up, though. Because he probably was going to that scrape.
Could have been.
Because, you know what I mean?
It's hit or miss with that rattling stuff.
Correct, but it was raining hard, you know. And I think that what happened was he heard you. He stood still. And in the video, you can't tell, but he stood there for like 10 minutes solid. Didn't move. 10 minutes, he just stood there staring up towards the top of the ridge. And I'm like, man, if I just had a bow, if I just had a bow right now, this would be a pop shot, you know. And I probably would have missed because it'd be so my heart was pounding, you know. And I was just like, because we're waiting for these big bucks, and all of a sudden here it was, finally last day of the hunt, naturally. And of course, I don't have a bow, and he's got the bow, and he's at the top of the. But anyway, so it turns and walks fast, like back the way it came. So obviously the one grunt came off, didn't work, or something happened.
Yeah.
But that's always a good example of grunting. And
yeah, grunting works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't.
Same thing
with scents.
Well, he must have been a less dominant buck, even though he was bigger, because obviously the two bucks in the beginning, he passed by that buck. He didn't fight him. He didn't attempt to fight him. He avoided him. So obviously he wasn't looking for a fight. You know, he wasn't hormoned up yet or whatever. He wasn't ready. You know, whereas that buck was like, you know, he's getting ready. I could tell. Because the one buck went this way, and he shadowed him like this. And, like, you know, they're going like this, and this one turned off and went around. Gave him a space. But, man, that was exciting.
Oh, yeah. That was a good hunt. It was exhausting, but it was a good hunt.
I don't think I was ever more mad at you than I was that moment. I'm like, why didn't he just sit here? We could have both said, because that one had two stands.
Yeah, I know. The other one didn't, but I was so obsessed with that giant scrape and the other two scrapes and the rubs that were all over the place.
That's a story of your life.
Yep.
When it comes to out-of-town hunting.
Yes, out-of-town hunting. I'm
so what you got coming up, Reslow? You got Illinois?
Illinois and 25, and I'll probably go up to Hubbard Lake this year.
Yeah, Jay yep. wants to get on here with you, talk some stories. He already gave a couple stories.
Yeah, there's some funny stories up there.
Yeah, just a ton of
We're going on a golf trip in August, so we're up in
Boyne,
yep. That's and we're going to travel across the state and hit Hubbard Lake on the way back. I got a trail camera out there since November 12th last year, and it's that lights out one. So the batteries last a year, and I put a 64 gig card in it.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
Solar?
No, it's, the battery life lasts a year, lithium. So I'm good. But I might have a Sasquatch on there or something. It'd be cool if there's a cougar on there.
They've been
sighting cougars.
You gotta start writing the right kind of pack. Yeah, but add something to your Pioneer pack on the neck.
Yeah.
Cover yourself, man.
Handgun.
That won't help you when they get you. You won't know what happened. They'll be over. That's very rare. I don't have heard anybody dying from a cougar in Michigan, have you? I mean, obviously, they just now said they exist.
No, I haven't heard that.
It'd be a fitting end.
You guys ever heard of it's called forest bathing? I'm bringing this up on every podcast tonight.
No.
Forest bathing? It's from Japan.
Is it like a snipe hunt?
No. I mean, you would first think it's something to do with washing yourself, but it is. But washing yourself with nature. So basically, you can hire a forest bather. They're like a guide, and they take you in the woods. And they just have you stand there and breathe the air and actually pay attention to the nature.
I like how you made your voice go low.
And you pay them?
How about this is the only one we use that on?
No, because it's interesting that people can make money doing very stupid things. And it's funny to me because it's one of those things where people do need that. I agree. It's just it's unfortunate that people don't recognize hunting or are scared of hunting or getting outdoors.
Is this where you ask me if I want to go camping? And if I blah, blah, blah.
I don't know what you're getting at, but the answer is no. Do you want to go forest bathing? All right, guys.
You want to go forest bathing, go up to White River or Quebec. That's where you're
there you go.
Bathing.
It's like Fred Bear said.
They drop you off, and you are alone.
Get into nature. Breathe some fresh air. Be scared a little bit.
That's
all I got for tonight. Anybody else got anything else they want to talk about? Nobody has said nothing in this podcast.
I'm just enjoying Ron's stories.
It's exhilarating. He's enjoying his Slurpee.
Yeah.
I know. He's just slurping it down. Care less about the conversation. Mm-hmm. So rude.
He had to plug in his mic because he was slurping.
I think we should
so
just unplug it. Yeah, we have to unplug it.
It's hard to get enough word edgewise with you and your forest bathing story.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to talk about it, but there's some other stuff we need to talk about on different podcasts. But anyway, thanks for tuning to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast, online at bowhunterplanet.com with your host, Team BHP. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.